call us to order and welcome you to the August 16th La Crosse County Board of Supervisors meeting and ask you to join in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. We have a quorum present of 27 supervisors, and start off with the County Board Chair's report, including reminders about the picnic, which I will defer to Supervisor Kyle to update us on those logistics for tomorrow. Supervisor Kyle?
Well, everything should be on a go. I was informed at a little after 5 tonight that we were not having pontoon rides because he was been called out of town on his job. But other than that, we'll be there at 11 o'clock to open up, and the meal is going to come at 12 or served at 12:30, I think. So everybody come and have a good time, and I think we'll have a nice day.
Excellent. Thank you for all your plans. There are a couple of, I think there's still spots. If people want to come and you haven't signed up yet, please feel free to come, but make sure you get your money to Supervisor Kyle, if you would. Supervisor Schrader, you have a question?
Is this at the Mindoro Park?
No. What district do you represent, Supervisor Schrader?
No.
We're at Swarthout Park on the shores of Lake Neshonoc, actually, where we've been the past few years. If you'd like to go to Mindoro Park, that should happen after we're done. That's worth it, please. Thank you. Any other questions or comments about tomorrow? Wear a sweatshirt, I think. It sounds like it's going to be a little on the cool side. So thank you again, Supervisor Kyle, for all your work on that. County Board Supervisor shirts. There have been a couple of people who made this suggestion that we, as a county board, might want to make available or have available to us shirts. And the county clerk is going to tell us a little bit more about it because she's done the legwork on it.
There's two samples in the back. The two green ones are the same. They're just different sizes, so you can get a feel for the sizes. The red one is women's sizes. This is the style shirt we chose so the women can get women's sizing because we know how great guy shirts fit us. The pricing is over here. The more we order, the cheaper the price break is going to go. The green ones back there have a little bit different of a material. If we go with those, they'll be slightly a dollar or two more. So we just need a consensus of how many shirts we're thinking of people want to order and what color we want to go with.
So we don't need to vote on the computer, but just I think in a general sense, if people are interested in purchasing a shirt, we are hosting the WCA conference, for example, in September, and might be nice to have those shirts. Folks who go to other conferences or to wear in your official capacity or otherwise. So I don't know if you want to nod heads or put your heads down and raise your hands, or I mean, I'm just looking for some indication of whether or not there's an interest in this. Supervisor Geary.
Are those shirts made in the U.S.? We're looking around.
We're checking on that. Supervisor Laundrie. Or were you going to ask the same question?
No, but that's a good question. Union made if we could. I'd also like to ask, they are nice shirts, but what's going to be on them? I can't see anything from here.
Put Winnebago County logo on it.
I mean, is it?
And Skippy on the right side.
And your player number.
Yes,
your
player, on your back.
Your district number.
Just a seal? Or?
I think the intent was to put the county logo or the county seal on it, and then I think it gets a little more expensive to individualize them, but it might just say county board or county board supervisor, but that's up for discussion. We're just throwing the idea out there, have no sense as to whether or not people are interested. Want to know what you're buying. Fair enough. Is there interest in this? Yes, no. I'm seeing some of each. All right, yes, I'm seeing. All right, so I think it looks like there are enough people who are interested that we will we'll make sure it's a made in the USA shirt and create an order form that will tell you what will be not engraved, can't think of the word right now, embroidered, thank you, on the shirt. and send that out to everybody with a timeline for when we need to get those sent back in. Supervisor Schrader.
So these will be embroidered. They won't be decals on them.
Embroidered, yeah.
It's embroidered. Okay. Supervisor Kyle.
Do you have a rough estimate on what this is going to be, $100 or?
Be shy of $100. If you, I know that board is not turned very easily for you to read, but can you see it from there? Yeah, somewhere in the neighborhood of $20, something shy of that. And that, no, they wanted to know if there'd be any writing on it. All right, so we will be sending out an order form. Just please pay attention. That'll be in an email, I'm sure. And pay attention to the order deadline to get them ready in time for the conference for those of us who want them. We're going to need to have quick turnaround on that. Anything else on shirts? If not, thank you for that. Conference reports from supervisors or announcements. It was a quiet month. Mr. O'Malley.
I do have one announcement. You have on your desk the calendar of committee meetings coming up. Due to an oversight, and we're still finalizing it, the legislative committee is likely to be on September 13th at 10 a.m. We will be in touch in particular with those of you that are on the legislative committee, but you might want to make a note of that if you're interested in attending. We have not gotten confirmation from every legislator. We're hoping the legislators will be able to be there, and I think we have one more that we're still checking with. So that was an oversight on our part. And also just take the opportunity to thank everyone for the support of my Habitat for Humanity ride last month. That's why I missed your county board meeting. There are thank yous that will be coming for those of you that contributed, but this was the most successful year I had in raising money from individual contributors this year, roughly $6,000 for La Crosse Habitat, $1,390 for Twin Cities, and $1,090 for Rice County. So it was a lot of fun, and also know that while I was out of town, there was a women's habitat build that I think deserves some recognition of county women's government build on, what was it, July 28th? Marilyn and others led that effort, Maureen, Monica. Now I've got to go with everybody's name. Well, now that
perhaps
I
you could pass the pictures around.
Okay, yeah. So we'll pass
and
that
then everybody could see it.
Yep, those are my announcements. Thank you.
Supervisor Pedretti.
Follow-up, thank you to all those who contributed to the women's build, but also a follow-up on that calendar, the PR&D tour date is wrong.
Oh.
It is not Wednesday morning. We need to get that, and I left a note for... we're actually going to do it Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock this month, but it should be Tuesdays at 4. So I want committee members to know.
That's 28th, just for August?
Just for August. It'll be August 28th at 8 o'clock. August 28th.
So the last item on the August agenda.
But in the future, it should say Tuesdays at 4, not Wednesdays. Thank you.
Any other announcements? Reports from supervisors? If not, Supervisor Hampson, if you would take the chair for the appointment, please.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I move the approval of the appointment of Supervisor Chuck Spiker to the Solid Waste Policy Board.
Is there a second? Bill Brockmiller, second. There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries unanimously. You have anything else?
No.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. That takes us to Planning Resources and Development, Supervisor Pedretti. I'm sorry, consent agenda. It's going to be one of those nights. Is there a motion on the consent agenda? Moved by Supervisor Becker to approve the consent agenda, seconded by Supervisor Holtz. Discussion on the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The consent agenda is approved. Now to you, Supervisor Pedretti.
Thank you. Item number 8-6, zoning petition 1903 to amend the La Crosse County zoning ordinance filed by Tom Whitney, acting on behalf of Diversified Investment Services, or Neshonic LLC, to rezone from Ag District A to Ag District B. approximately 0.009 and approximately 0.448 acres, and to rezone from the Commercial District B to Ag District B, approximately 5.86 acres, in the town of Hamilton. I move its approval. The committee's report unanimously approved this rezone.
Supervisor moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Supervisor Becker. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
Item 8-7, zoning petition 1905 to amend the La Crosse County zoning ordinance filed by David Rundle, acting on behalf of Rundle Ranch LTD, to rezone from exclusive ag district to the rural district a 6.37-acre parcel for continued residential use in the town of Washington. I move the committee's report, which unanimously approved with three conditions.
Supervisor Pedretti moves the committee report, which is to approve with three conditions, seconded by Supervisor Weers. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. That is approved.
Item 8-8, conditional use permit number 858, filed by Arthur and Lynn Patty to use the basement of their existing residence and portion of their garage to store shipping supplies and inventory on an approximately 1.23-acre parcel of land zoned Ag District A in the town of Hamilton. I move the committee's report, which was to approve unanimously with seven conditions.
Supervisor Pedretti moves the committee report, which is to approve with seven conditions, seconded by Supervisor Jerome. Discussion on this item? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
Item 8-9, conditional use permit 859, filed by Sheldon Everson, or Roll-Off LLC, to continue operating a dumpster roll-off business as approved under Condition Use Permit 815 that expires August 19, 2012, and to amend conditions of that permitting, including number of dumpsters allowed to be stored on site, number of employees, and to establish business hours on land zoned Ag District A in the town of Farmington. I move the committee report, which was unanimously approved with seven conditions.
Supervisor Pedretti moves the committee report, which is to approve with the seven conditions listed, seconded by Supervisor Becker. Discussion on this item? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
Item 8-10, zoning petition 1906, filed by Todd Dagenhart, to rezone from the Mobile Home Court District to Ag District A, approximately 0.67 acres for continued residential use in the town of Barrie. I move the committee report, which was unanimously to approve.
Supervisor Pedretti moves the committee report to approve, seconded by Supervisor Weers. Discussion on this item? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved as well.
Item 8-11, zoning petition number 1907, filed by Jerry Stokely, acting on behalf of Busman Enterprises, LLC, to rezone from Transitional Ag District to the Ag District A, a 10.01-acre parcel for continued residential use in the town of Barrie. I move the committee report, which was to unanimously approve with three conditions.
Supervisor Pedretti moves the committee report, which is to approve with three conditions, seconded by Supervisor Kyle. Discussion on this item? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
Item 8-12, it's the first consideration of ordinance number 106 to create section 31.06 entitled Farmland Preservation Plan as part of La Crosse County, Wisconsin Comprehensive Plan 2007 to 2027 of the General Code of La Crosse County. Do I have to move it? I don't move its approval tonight. Thank you.
So the farmland preservation ordinance has been moved for to be considered for its first reading. We will take it up next month for its second and final reading, a vote on it next month. Just a reminder, we can certainly discuss it now if there are edits or questions or debate this evening. It can also happen tonight or next month as well. Any discussion on the first reading of the farmland preservation ordinance? Supervisor Schrader.
Thank you. If you haven't read this, I would encourage you all to read this, because this is pretty in-depth piece of legislation here. There's some things in here that some different committees that have been formed that I don't know what they are. what they mean. There's a TDR program. And it also, I'd like to have somebody speak to how the developers are going to be involved in this. It sounds like they're going to have quite a bit of input on some things in there.
Supervisor Schrader, will you please make sure you're speaking completely into the microphone?
It's on.
Thank you.
Okay, what's a LESA analysis?
If I may, or should we have Nate?
On page 33.
Nate, do you want to come in so you can answer questions as they might come up?
It is a state standard, but we'll get Nate to...
I can certainly try. Charlie is the author of this farmland preservation plan, and he was mostly involved with the Farmland Preservation Committee development of this plan. So anything that would go into real depth in questions on this, Supervisor Schrader, I would defer those to Charlie, questions.
Okay, it sounds like there was a committee set up, and I didn't know anything about this.
Well, we have a Farmland Preservation Committee.
Yeah, but this isn't the Farmland Preservation Committee. It's the LESA Committee.
Right. It's a state standard, and it's it's very complicated paperwork you fill out, and it stands for Land Evaluations Assessment, Site Assessment. Thank you. And it's state standards that we'll be using at the local level in order to get these approved to go to the state level. You discussed developers as well. The Farmland Preservation Committee has a wide assortment of people on that committee, and one of them is a developer, so they have been at the table. It's also gone to quite a few committee. But I think Nate's right. This is kind of Charlie's baby. I think he can answer these questions a lot better. We can certainly, if you have some specific questions, we can get them ahead of time as well, so we're ready for that at the next meeting.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be next month. So.
Correct.
Are there other specific questions that you want to try and give the... Okay.
I'll make note of those, though.
Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I peruse the ordinance, I just more of a have macro question. It's kind of a unique ordinance in that I've never really seen an ordinance with so many tables of data and maps. Is that correct? Mr. Lang, do our ordinances have so much background data and information? It seems somewhat unique. I don't know if you could comment on that.
It is somewhat unique, but I think the comprehensive plan also had a certain number of exhibits and maps. So with the comprehensive plan, it's not uncommon. It's a little bit more than the other ones, but it's not uncommon. So it is a little bit different. Because it's part of the whole comprehensive plan.
Okay, and you would say that all those tables and maps are essential to this ordinance?
I just think it makes it easier to, if the public's looking at it or members to understand.
Sure, I understand. Because I, you know, we have resolutions too that could probably accomplish a lot of that. But your recommendation is to keep all this data in the ordinance, the actual ordinance, because we could do it through resolutions too. Correct. Or not?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I think it should be by ordinance. And I should indicate it was kind of a challenge because I had to try to put this in the format for the ordinance format and do the best we could.
Okay, because I guess I'll go through it more in more detail, but it seems that, and I don't know if the chair of the committee has any comment on it as well. I'd like to hear from Supervisor Pedretti, but it seems like there's a lot of good background information here. And I'm just wondering if it's appropriate for the actual ordinance book. Thank you.
Sure.
Supervisor Weers.
Thank you. I just wanted to speak on this a little bit on the history. I've been involved with this, developing this plan with Charlie for over 3 years. I was on the original committee that worked on this LESA model, which is Land Evaluation Site Assessment. And we literally spend hours and hours, I mean, probably 100 hours on this, where Charlie took each committee member out to individual farms to look at what a typical farm would look like under this model. And I think everybody needs to understand that the original reasoning for having this is that we have to, by the state, to get our farmers tax credits. So that is why we need to adopt this in the next few months. Because, like we just learned from Greg Stengel, that we got over $300,000 in farm tax credits that came back to our farmers last year. If anybody has any questions on, like, the LISA, I know you look at that and you see that it's very complicated, which is why all the tables are necessary. But things like soil stewardship, future land use, the committee was made up of four or five farmers, big farmers in the county. I actually worked for the Builders Association at the time, and there was another developer on there. So this was a subcommittee made up of people from the public that this ordinance will affect in their everyday lives. So if you have questions on those exact things, I would ask you to ask Charlie, but also call any of the committee members that were on there, because they'll talk to you about it. Was really an interesting process. But if you look at things like we had to decide, you know, from our infrastructure, how far from our infrastructure do we want to consider ideal development areas and all that kind of stuff. And I just wanted to let everybody know it really was a partnership with the county and builders and farmers, and everybody was involved that needed to be involved. And I commend Charlie on that, because he really reached out to people that will be affected by this.
Thank you for that background, Supervisor Weir's. Supervisor Holtz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is a complicated document, and as someone who has read the whole thing, I only found one typo on page 26. I'll show it to Charlie. But it has to be this detailed for what it's trying to cover. So kind of bear with us. It's going to be a lengthy thing to look at by next meeting, but it's got to be this way.
Anybody else wishing to be heard for the first time on this issue? Supervisor Pedretti, did you want to say anything in addition to? Okay. Anybody else wishing to be heard for the first time? Back to you, Supervisor Schrader.
Thank you. I was just going to request, is this coming through?
Yes, now it is.
It is. I'm just going to request that all of these maps in here, that we have a copy of those with this ordinance that we can read.
And Nate, do you know if they're available online? Is the ordinance, the detail of the draft of the ordinance online?
The plan may be online. I don't know if the maps are available online.
Okay. So you'll make sure that happens and then notify supervisors when those are available?
Yes.
Please? Thank
if
you.
If they could just pass them out for next month. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we'll have a couple of them. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to print one for every supervisor unless that's what everybody is wanting. But we can make them available as soon as possible, and Nate will let people know when those are available, and you can communicate with him about how you want to see them. I think printing them out in color for each supervisor, I'm not sure that – I'm looking around the room and seeing that that's not necessary. So go ahead, Nate.
It would be an option. They're fairly large PDFs, and – I think Charlie in the past has brought maps down that are, you know, we can display and show the entire county or town by town. Sure.
Yep. Anything else, Supervisor Schrader? Okay. Mr. O'Malley?
Madam Chair, members of the board, I was going to suggest that if we had these maps blown up for your policy planning meeting, it wouldn't be on your agenda for discussion, but we could have staff here to review and answer questions rather than try to throw all these maps at you on your next county board meeting. We could try to make a small period of time if we could get Charlie to attend. That way, if you want to look at the details of the map, I mean, there's probably, what, 10 maps at the back of this that you're concerned about? Would that be a suggestion? We could even make a few minutes on the planning agenda for that if you'd like. I mean, not for voting on the ordinance, because it's still got to be your two readings, but that might help the consideration, because Supervisor Schrader is obviously correct. It's hard to see at this level of detail. So would that be helpful? We can make some time on the agenda.
So having them available for viewing at the policy planning meeting in September. Supervisor Schrader, go ahead.
Okay, then, Mr. O'Malley. Would it be possible that we could discuss this maybe a little bit at the next policy meeting.
With your direction and the support of the chair, certainly. I don't recall exactly the other items we have for September policy, but it will use some budget items and a couple of other items. But I'll do the best I can.
Yeah, we might also just make sure that we let people know that, like at 5 or 5:30 or whatever, that Charlie will be down here. The maps will be down here, depending on how full that agenda is for the planning meeting. So we will make sure that that information is available by the policy planning meeting in some format, either on the full agenda or ahead of time for people to look at.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or concerns about this first reading? If not, is that it for you, Supervisor Pedretti?
It is. Thank you.
Thank you. On to Public Works and Infrastructure, Supervisor Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have item 8-13, approval of the temporary construction easement and access to the utility easement agreement to La Crosse Cellular Telephone Company at La Crosse County Landfill. Now, therefore, be it resolved that La Crosse County hereby approves an agreement for a temporary construction easement and non-exclusive access to the utility easement to La Crosse Cellular Telephone Company in accordance with the terms of the above resolution. There's no physical aspect or no physical impact La Crosse County. I move for approval.
Moved by Supervisor Meyer, seconded by Supervisor Burns. Discussion on the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
We have item 8-14, authorization to sell property to La Crosse Community Housing Development Organization. Now, therefore, be it resolved that La Crosse County Board hereby authorizes the parcel number 17-50128-10 to La Crosse Community Housing Development Organization for payment of a sum of $20,000. The fiscal note, the total taxes owed on this date equal $26,555.87, excluding interest and penalty. The amount received will be applied to the real estate taxes, and any taxes not paid will be adjusted by the finance department. County closing costs are estimated to be $200 for the title work needed. I move for your approval.
Supervisor Meyer, will you please read the be it further resolved also? Or did you? I missed that if you did.
To be further resolved, the La Crosse County Board Chair and County Clerk are authorized to sign appropriate documents and indeed conveying the property to LCHDO for approval after approval of Corporate Council.
Thank you, Supervisor Meyer. It's been moved by Supervisor Meyer, seconded by Supervisor Burns. Discussion on this item. Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What does the phrase, in the fiscal note, it says the amount will be applied to real estate taxes. Any taxes not paid will be adjusted by the finance department. Could you give us the effect of that statement?
It means that we'll write it off as uncollectible.
Thank you. And there's an account budget item that comes out of?
No, we don't budget for uncollectibles, but it's written off.
It's just written off?
Yes, just written off.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When they sell the house, is this based on income of the parties that are buying the house?
No.
Anybody can buy it, or do you have to have an income up to only a certain level? Is this for people to get them started or something?
Brian Fukuda will give an answer, please.
I'm not positive on that, but typically with because of the funding sources that Cooley Cap uses to do these types of projects, typically there is some income restrictions. I'm not positive on that, and I'm not sure what the income restrictions would be, but I could certainly find out.
Well, okay. Now, when they get the house paid for, does it have future restrictions? Can they sell it to anybody at any income level, or do they have to sell it to somebody again at a...
Typically, they're able to sell it then upon resale. There may be some conditions built into the sale that they must own it for a certain number of years or something like that before they can sell it at a market rate or that sort of thing. Okay. But
do they own the house and the land?
Cooley Cap does have a Cooley Community Land Trust. They do keep some of the some of their developments. They keep the land as a permanent affordability type of a thing. I don't believe that they're doing that with this one, but again, I don't know for sure.
Well, I think we should know that before we vote on it. I mean, the city of La Crosse has got tons of non-taxable property, and I'd assume the land and the house would go on the taxes. If they don't, we wouldn't get any taxes, right? They're a nonprofit or something.
Not on the land. For the houses that they keep in the, or the land that they keep in the Cooley Community Land Trust.
Well, I got to assume the lot's going to be worth at least $40,000 or more. No. They should be paying taxes on it. So we don't know if they're going to be paying taxes on that.
Mr. O'Malley?
I don't.
There was no discussion at the Public Works Committee that this would not be taxed. In fact, that was part of the discussion when a suggestion came up of whether or not this could have been somehow transferred to the school district. One of the objections and discussion items was that this would be on the tax roll. Recall that we went through a bid process on this, got no responses. This was the only response that we got by advertising a second time. The Cooley Cap organization is about getting property back on the rolls. There was no discussion or consideration of a land trust. That would have been a different discussion, but we did not put that restriction in the bid because, remember, no one else was actually interested in acquiring this dilapidated property and raising it and replacing it with a home. So I believe each of those concerns are actually addressed in putting it back on the tax rolls. They're the most responsive bidder to take a property off of our hands. And Jim can even describe more in detail the condition of the existing property.
The questions I have is, what you're saying is the house and the land will both be on the taxes.
I understand.
And when they stay in there for 5 years or whatever the required number of years is, at that point or when they get clear title, they could sell it to anybody.
They own it outright.
They own it free and clear. Everything's on the tax rolls. Okay.
Mr. Spropoulos, did you want to add anything? Okay. Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did a little homework. How land trusts works. When the community land trust buys these homes, it's a land trust, meaning that when you purchase a house through the community land trust, you make a leasehold purchase. What this means is that you purchase the improvements, the house, the garage, and the outbuildings on the land, but not the land itself. I had quite a discussion with our city assessor, and he said that he came up with a formula with Cooley Cap, and at no time, by doing this, land trust can provide the substantial assistance for that homeowner who is buying that, but at no time will they ever own the land itself. So there is going to be less taxes, even if you put a $150,000 house on that, that whatever the value of the land is, that will always remain with the land trust, community land trust. So they will get appreciations over the years that they hold that property, whoever is purchasing it, but the land will always remain with the community land trust. There's quite a bit of information on the internet if you'd like to take a look at it, but I thought it was very interesting, but we are not going to get the full tax value on that.
That's great background information on land trusts. I'm not convinced that we are selling this to a land trust. There are two separate organizations that Cooley Cap operates. One is a land trust, and they do sell properties through that. One is not, and we need clarification either from Mr. Lang or from Mr. O'Malley whether or not this... I think the way the resolution reads is that it's going to the other organization, not the land trust, but we need clarification.
Yeah, all I can tell you is that the offer is to the Cross Community Housing Development Organization. That's the buyer. The offer is also contingent. One other thing, it is contingent on this organization receiving $86,000 from the City of La Crosse to put toward the project. They also have to receive approval for its environmental assessment of the project. Other than that, there aren't any conditions on the offer. It's an offer for $20,000, and that's the only one that we have.
And further, the environmental is about the raising of the property and all the environmental issues that are there. We work very closely with Cooley Cap on the land trust issue that was in Onalaska, but that was stated very clearly up front. And I've been to a couple meetings on this. I haven't heard anything that this property would be in a land trust. So I don't know if you have different information on this particular item. But my understanding is it's to the LCHDO. It's not to a separate land trust. So I apologize if you've got different information.
Well, when I thank you, Mr. O'Malley. When I did my search, La Crosse Community Housing Development Organization, that's when it came up, the Community Land Trust, and that was the information. I even called the office on Victory Street, and that was the information that they gave me as well. There are other homes that they do in the community. Mm-hmm. Now, whether this particular one was different, but I think it's a great organization. I think it's great if we can, you know, have some funds to rebuild. So I'm not opposed to that, but it was just a little bit of information I needed to find out about the property tax itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Richmond. Supervisor Laundrie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question, could this resolution be amended to be approved contingent on it not being a part of a land trust so that we could get it over with tonight and then if it was a land trust and revisit it?
Mr. Spiropoulos, I think it's a time-sensitive matter because of grant funding available, but
I've just got a couple of things to clarify. The 2011 taxes on the parcel of the land was assessed at $13,000. Not 40. The building in 2008, the structure was at 8810, and 2011 was at $88,100 for a total assessed value of $101,000. Even if it stayed in, if it did stay in a land trust, you're talking about $13,000 versus a $100,000 home sitting on the property. So if they can raise the value by that $13,000, it's a wash right now, and a better home than that's there today. The purchaser has received a grant to demolish the house, which is time sensitive. It has to happen sometime in September. So if this gets delayed until the September meeting, that grant goes away. Subsequently, the offer would go away also. So
there's a supervisor wishing to be heard for a second time. Anyone wishing to be heard for the first time on this resolution? Anyone wishing to be heard for the first time? If not, Supervisor, oops, we have a cell phone call coming in. Supervisor Burns, do you want to go ahead and?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to clarify or address what Supervisor Geary's concern was about the value of the lot, because I did ask this question in committee. It seems somewhat low to think that the lot would be, it seemed like the lot would be worth more in the city of La Crosse in that location, but according to what Mr. Spropoulos explained is because the demolition costs are so high, that created that reduced the value of the lot significantly. So is that correct, Mr. Spropoulos? Sorry. But that's I think, how it was explained at committee. Is that correct, Mr. O'Malley?
I don't think it necessarily decreases the value of the lot. The structure that's there now doesn't help the lot. It's more of a hindrance than it helps. But it's, I don't know that it would decrease the value of it.
Brian, do you have breaking news?
Yeah, I just talked
Betsy
to...
Betsy Bloom, get your pen out. Be ready for this.
Newsflash. I just talked to Todd Mandel from Cooley Cap. This will be a land trust lot. However, the land trust is not... The Cooley Community Land Trust is not a tax-exempt organization. They will pay full tax... They will pay full taxes on full assessed value of that lot. The lot will be kept by Cooley Community Land Trust in their ownership. The home will be under the ownership of the new owner. The new owner can then sell it at any point, and they will get the appreciated value of the home, and Cooley Community Land Trust would get the value of the land, or I mean, they would essentially they wouldn't get anything because they would they would keep the land in their ownership, but they do pay taxes on it.
Thank you, Mr. Fukuda, and thank you, Supervisor Richmond, for bringing up this issue. Other discussion on the resolution? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved. Back to you, Mr. Meyer.
Resolution 8-15, a notice to Rockland, the Village of Rockland, regarding discontinuation of county maintenance of Rock Street. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Cross County Board hereby approves the discontinuance of future of maintenance of Rock Street in the Village of Rockland by the County Highway Department. Be it further resolved, the county clerk is authorized to send a copy of this resolution to the Village of Rockland to provide notice of the county's action. There's no physical expense to the county on this. I move your approval.
Supervisor Meyer moves approval, seconded by Supervisor Burke. Discussion? Supervisor Gamroth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could Ron come and explain that, please?
Jenny, if I could get you to put up that map. Thank you very much. What actually has existed as far back as we've been able to determine for records is that County Trunk U in the Village of Rockland actually ends at County Trunk Highway J. There. So County Trunk U actually ends at County Trunk J. We've been, as far back as our records show, we've been maintaining County Trunk U all the way to the town of Sparta, the Monroe County line. The records from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation that indicate where general transportation aids are paid for, i.e. what mileage they're paid for each municipality, is where this map actually comes from. This is the Village of Rockland map from the DOT. The county trunk highways that are highlighted in black and white are the highways that we receive, the county receives general transportation aids for. All of the municipal streets are the streets that the Village of Rockland receives general transportation aids for. So Rock Street from the intersection of J and U to the Monroe County line, we've been maintaining for a very long time. It is listed as County Trunk Highway U. The Village of Rockland has been receiving general transportation aids for that time. And we discovered this purely by accident. Nobody was any malicious or ignorer. This was just a mistake at some point in time in the past. So basically what the resolution does is it notifies the Village of Rockland that we're going to return to them what's theirs for maintenance.
Go ahead, Supervisor Gamroth. You still have the chair or the floor.
Thank you. I've spoken to Ron and I've spoken to Linda, the village president, and they understand. It was a little confusing for a little while, and I spoke to him today also because the signs. Do you want to explain the confusion?
Sure. That's currently signed as county. That piece that actually belongs to the Village of Rockland is currently signed as County Trunk Highway U. It's not owned by the county. It can be a village street. It can still be County Trunk Highway U. The naming of the street does not affect jurisdiction. Okay, jurisdiction is strictly about who maintains it. So there was some confusion on the part of the village as to, since it was signed as U, it should be ours. Not necessarily. County Trunk Highway PH on the west side of Onalaska, there by the mall that goes by Walgreens, is actually County Trunk Highway PH. It is owned by the city of Onalaska. So there's a real easy, simple example. A fair chunk of County Trunk Highway B within the city of La Crosse is owned by the city of La Crosse.
Go ahead, you still have the floor.
Okay, I just wanted to say, Linda said they had a meeting and they understood it was, there was no contention about it. They understood that it was just an accident that had happened, and I just wanted her to be comfortable with what was going on, so we've spoken back and forth and you've spoken. So I think now everybody kind of understands what happened and why it happened. So, and I think you staying there would help instead of taking it down and confusing, but I will talk to her and talk to you again. Instead of removing the signs as you had thought of.
I will personally be meeting with the Rockland Town Board to try and assist them in finding some funding for the reconstruction of that street that's dedicated to villages and cities on the 11th of September. So I'm sure we'll talk about that at that point as
that,
well.
That was their other concern, finding some funding. But thanks for all your help. I also went out to the development last night. There's two more basements going up, so it looks very nice.
Great. Good.
Thank you.
Other discussion on the resolution? Supervisor Holtz.
Is the county going to take the county signs down and have you stop in county highway you end at J?
We're going to work with the village and find out if they wish to keep the signage up, and even though they maintain it and they own it, it can still be considered a county trunk highway. Okay.
I just meant it would be for more cleanliness of the situation, but that's up to you. I don't have a problem with it, I guess.
Any other discussion on the resolution? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That resolution is approved. Back to you, Mr. Meyer.
That's all I have.
All right. Thank you very much. Veterans, Aging, and Long-Term Care, Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have the following. Approve a recommendation of the county staff to replace Lakeview Health Care Center with small neighborhood facilities contingent upon further evaluation of need and costs. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors that Lakeview Health Care Center should be replaced with small neighborhood facilities contingent upon further independent evaluation of the need and costs. Be it further resolved that the county administrator will bring a recommendation to the Veterans, Aging, and Long-Term Care Committee and the county board to conduct an independent business and management analysis, including but not limited to, number one, evaluation of need for Lakeview Health Care Center services, projected trend of client needs, market cost of alternatives, if La Crosse County no longer operated this type of facility, and evaluation of economies of scale to serve a larger region, i.e. Mississippi Valley Health Service members. Number two, recommendations on type and sizing of neighborhood facility or facilities, right sizing for number of beds based on projected trend and need. Identification of potential licenses and evaluation of staffing configurations and options. Number three, independent evaluation of the pros and cons of co-location on the current Hillview campus versus continuing a separate presence at the Lakeview campus. Benefit and efficiencies of co-location, identifying any benefit or efficiencies in separate locations, and recommendations on other operational efficiencies to reduce cost. Be it further resolved that the La Crosse County Administrator is directed to bring a cost estimate to the Veterans, Aging, and Long-Term Care Committee and County Board to conduct a preliminary architectural engineering site analysis comparing the infrastructure costs and options of locating the small neighborhood facilities on the current Lakeview or the Hillview campus, and a cost estimate of conducting an independent business and management analysis. Fiscal note, there is no cost to this resolution at this time. The cost of independent analysis will be considered by the board at a future meeting. Move to approve.
Supervisor Richmond moves approval, seconded by Supervisor Hampson. Discussion. Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you. There was a meeting yesterday of the Mississippi Valley Health Services, and the other counties were given the same presentation that we received about the remaking of Lakeview, and they did express that they appreciate having the multi-county organization that we have, and they want to continue to be involved in it. So that answered one question about it. They do want to continue to be involved with it. That's it. Thanks.
Other discussion? Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. Question, I was reading the minutes of the Executive Committee, and it does state that two separate consulting contracts will come back to Executive. Will that those consulting contracts also come back to Aging?
Yes, it's our intention to bring it to both committees.
Okay. All right, thank you. Supervisor Holtz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In committee, we reviewed this pretty closely about keeping the facility upright, and that's going to be part of the study. But we received from the general public, from the private providers, what I felt was tremendous support to keep Lake View going. So your study will go into detail about what we're going to propose and what we're going to do, what it's going to cost, and whether it's two modules or three modules, all that will be discussed in the study. So I know there's some numbers floating around about how much this might cost. We don't really know what those numbers are yet until we determine what we're going to build, if we're going to build. So I think it's premature to go with some of the numbers I'm hearing batted around. So.
Other discussion? Supervisor Burke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is my memory, or I remember that at the Executive Committee, although I didn't support it, there was much discussion about changing that word architectural to, I thought there was an amendment that's not evident in the resolution, at least that I have.
In some circles known as the Veenstra Amendment, I believe.
And if I might interject, this resolution originated with the Aging Long-Term Care Committee. The resolution can't be amended by another committee until it comes to the floor, so it would require a separate motion. So staff did not amend this resolution. It is up to you and this body to amend that when it originates in another committee.
Well, and that's a question.
That's my understanding.
That's what I thought, too, but it did happen.
It happened over donuts, as I recall.
And it's in the minutes of the Executive Committee, but it doesn't go any further until something happens at this body, is my understanding.
Other discussion on the resolution? Supervisor Geary.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. On these other counties, are they going to say we want space for five clients that would fit in a certain category, and then we lock them in a long-term lease? I mean, when you're figuring out the size of the building, you got to figure out how many counties are going to send, how many people, and how long do they have to stay obligated for.
That will be part of the evaluation of whether or not we require something additional in regards to capital or a long-term commitment. That's been one of the difficulties, is that we've had a great deal of success in having the beds used by member counties, but that we haven't had to deal with capital issues. That's part of the evaluation that we're going to do.
Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I just, again, as an executive committee, I certainly hope that village officials are included in your study group, or certainly their input, and that the use of the old building, if you decide to build new, is taken as a very serious component of all this. Thank you.
Supervisor Schrader.
Thank you. I hope I have this straight, that we're not looking to go out into the community and build these. This site is either going to be on the Hillview site or on the Lakeview site, land that we presently have. Is that correct?
And or the variation that some might be on the Hillview campus, some might stay on the Lakeview campus. We want to look at all options, but we're not looking at any other land that the county owns, so not taking anything off the tax rolls. We don't think that would be appropriate, that we can either accommodate this all on the existing Lakeview campus, all on the Hillview campus, and or some variation of those two things, and those will be evaluated. As part of the process, there will be some kind of public interaction process at both sites as we evaluate that, as we have more facts and information. At this point, it's way too preliminary to share any information with people, because that's part of the purpose of the study and the analysis, is to verify each of the items that are in here.
Supervisor Friedland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question. I also noticed in the minutes of the Executive Committee that several members from the several providers from the private community also were very favorably inclined towards this, and I thought that that was good that their opinions were solicited. But I'm wondering about the need of nursing home beds for the, I don't know what the right word would be, the non-problematic clientele or the non-problematic community. And if we would be competing against the private market by the building of this, or if this would be a good supplement to the private market. I'm just wondering about that interaction, because we had quite a discussion about that when we decided whether or not to build the assisted living facility, and that was a factor that mattered to us as we determined whether we wanted to do that or not.
If I might respond by asking Wanda Pletchecki, our associate administrator from Lakeview, she's much better versed in those kinds of issues. And as she's coming forward, we can echo that included in your minutes were quite a number of private providers that have both weighed in by email, as well as Todd Wilson, who is, I can't remember his exact title, but
CEO. Yeah.
Let's have Wanda respond. I'm stumbling for words right now. I don't.
Oh, thank you for the question. Lakeview's mission for the 100-plus years that we have been in existence has always been to provide services, care, and support to people with significant challenging behaviors. And that is a very different market niche than any of the traditional settings in our area. We are the only one in La Crosse County that currently does that, and quite frankly has an interest in doing that, has the ability to do that. We provide additional staff support. We provide additional training. We have always had that as our market niche. And that's really, I think, the primary reason why the other facilities in La Crosse County are so supportive of us and did express that recently at our Aging and Long-Term Care Committee meeting, because that is something that's different. It's an adjunct to what they provide, and it also is a support for them. Some of the facilities in our area have asked us to provide some assistance and training and support to their staff so that they can better manage individuals within their settings. But primarily, people are interested in Lakeview because we are a facility that is able to care for people beyond the scope of what they do, and we have provided a safety net for the people of this community in that regard.
You still have the floor.
Okay. Thank you, and I appreciate understanding what the mission is. But I'm still wondering what the market is like as far as whether we could develop this into more than just that, just for the I think you called them, what did you call it, the behaviorally challenged?
People with complex behavioral challenges, yes.
Right.
And I think that's part of what the study will help us to identify, if there are additional market niches that would be kind of a complement to what we are currently doing that might help improve the revenue stream. Because quite frankly, probably the most significant reason that other facilities aren't doing it is because it is the lowest reimbursement that Medicaid provides is to people that have very little for physical needs but have high intense behavioral needs. So other people aren't interested in doing it because it provides very little reimbursement. So for us, doing other things, such as some of the community licenses and the other community services that we have started in the last few years, have helped us to kind of balance that and helped us to cover some of what I would call maybe our central office costs, things out of the administrative area. But it's still everything that we've done, we have stayed true to that market and that original mission. So even the things that we're doing, the services that we're providing to people in the community, still we're providing them to a little bit of a different kind of person than might be in a traditional assisted living setting, for instance. It still is providing a little bit of a different market to those people who need it, maybe community, can live in the community, but have maybe a little bit more significant behavioral issues. And we're good at that. We do provide that additional staff training. We're recognized for that. And so I think each of our market niches that we've looked at have always included that. But some of them that are outside of the nursing home setting have helped us with the revenue streams. And so that's what we'll be looking at, is can we stay true to our mission and still provide some services in maybe a little bit different way than the traditional nursing home, which is typically the lowest paid reimbursement. So we will be looking at that, but right now I think we're curious to see what that consultant will help us to identify.
Okay, thank you. Let me just say in the end that I think this is exciting, and I think that the community is going to be real interested in following this. Right now, it seems as though the nursing homes almost use Lakeview as a threat in some kind of ways. You're going to have to go to Lakeview, and people think that it's a gloomy, scary place with restraints and uncaring people, and it's exact opposite of that. And with a new facility, I think it'll become much more attractive, and people will appreciate what the county does even more then. So, good luck.
I agree. Thanks.
Other discussion or questions? On the resolution, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved. Is that it for you, Supervisor Richmond?
Yeah.
Supervisor Ebert, Executive Committee.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. A resolution adopting the findings of the City-County of La Crosse Housing Task Force study entitled La Crosse Housing, a Plan to Reinvest in the City's Housing Market. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the County Board of Supervisors that it hereby adopts the City-County of La Crosse Housing Task Force report entitled La Crosse Housing, a Plan to Reinvest in the City's Housing Market, executive summary attached. Be it further resolved that it hereby directs the county's community development work group to review the options and recommendations of that study and work with the city's neighborhood revitalization committee and the community to create an action plan and bring that action plan back to the County Board of Supervisors for further consideration. Fiscal note, there is no cost to the county of adopting the report, nor does this action commit the county to any specific policy recommendations. I move the report.
Moved by Supervisor Ebert, seconded by Supervisor Landre. Discussion? Supervisor Spiker.
At the last part of now, therefore, be resolved, it says the executive summary attached. I don't have a copy. I assume everybody else doesn't either.
I believe that report was issued. We got a copy of that report several months ago. It probably could have been redistributed, but there was an executive summary, okay. I believe, when Brian Fukuda presented those findings to us.
And I apologize. It was attached to the resolution when it left my office, so I don't know where the mix-up is. So,
apologies from the chair.
Yeah, I apologize.
Brian Fukuda, will you just remind us where that is available, please?
It's on the website.
The Housing Task Force is still in the committee's section of the county website. All the minutes are there. The final version of the report is also there. It is also on the City of La Crosse website still, I believe, as well. So you can find it in a couple of places.
Thank you. Other discussion on the resolution? Supervisor Landre.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This project was one that I was lucky enough to be a part of as an intern with the economic development staff and now as a member of the Neighborhood Revitalization Commission. And I just want to acknowledge the hard work of our economic development staff and all the members of this task force. I believe that when it comes to the overall outlook of our entire county, that moving forward there are few issues more pressing than the declining urban core of La Crosse County and the City of La Crosse and specific fragile neighborhoods. I also believe that our county's economic future hinges on our ability to rebuild our most fragile neighborhoods, and this really needs to be a top priority of this body and the La Crosse City Council, specifically until the problem is solved. So I wholeheartedly support giving our economic development staff the task of implementing this plan, how they see fit. Thank you.
Other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That resolution is approved as well. That's it for Executive Committee, right? On to Health and Human Services Board, Supervisor Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have item 818, a resolution to accept community transformation through collaboration contract. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby accept $450,000 from the University of Wisconsin Prevention Network for the 26-month period from August 1st, 2012 to September 30th, 2014. Be it further resolved, the Health Department is authorized to retain a 0.94 FTE nutrition educator and a 0.43 FTE health educator previously hired under the ARA Communities Putting Prevention to Work contract to perform the duties required under this community transformation contract, and that said position shall sunset at the end of the grant funding. Be it further resolved that the remaining 2.0 FTE position that was previously authorized as part of the ARA Communities Putting Prevention to Work contract shall sunset effective 12/31/12. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair is authorized to execute any contracts or documents to accomplish this resolution after approval of Corporation Council. The fiscal note is that this program requires no local tax levy. Staff for the 26-month contract will be provided by an existing 0.94 FTE nutrition educator and an existing 0.43 FTE health educator currently funded by the ARA contract. The total cost of this new grant includes about $208,000 in salary and fringes, a $70,000 contract with the University School of Medicine and Public Health, $98,000 for subcontracts with six local organizations, including the YMCA and Cameron Park Market, and with the remaining $74,000 for travel, supplies, equipment, and related expenses. This resolution was unanimously approved by the Health and Human Services Committee, and I move for its approval.
Supervisor Cruz moves the approval of the resolution, seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no. That is approved.
I have item 819, resolution to accept community transformation smoke-free apartments clear gains contract. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby accept $160,000 from the University of Wisconsin Prevention Network for the 26-month period from August 1, 2012 to September 30, 2014. Be it further resolved that the Health Department is authorized to retain a 0.18 FTE health educator currently hired under a tobacco control contract, and that said position shall sunset at the end of the grant funding. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair is authorized to execute any contracts or documents to accomplish this resolution after approval of Corporation Council. The fiscal note is that this program requires no local tax levy. Staff for the 26-month contract will be provided by a currently funded 0.18 FTE health educator. The total cost of this new grant includes about $33,000 in salary and fringes, a $67,000 contract with the Monroe County Health Department, a $10,000 contract with the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, and the remaining $50,000 for travel, supplies, equipment, and related expenses. This, too, was unanimously approved by the Health and Human Services Committee, and I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Cruz, seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved. I would just note before we read this final resolution, it does require a two-thirds vote because it is an unfunded item. So be ready to vote on the computer on this just so we make sure we have that vote, please.
Thank
Sorry,
you, Madam
back
Chair.
To you, Supervisor Cruz.
Thank you. I have item 8-20, a resolution to accept Wisconsin Seal a Smile school-based school-linked dental sealant program grant. Be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby accepts $4,500 from the State of Wisconsin for the period beginning August 1, 2012 through June 30, 2013. Be it further resolved, the Health Department is authorized to procure two subcontracted registered dental hygienists to perform the duties required under this Seal a Smile grant. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair is authorized to execute any contract or documents to accomplish this resolution after approval of Corporation Council. Fiscal note is that this program requires a county match of funding. Staff for this grant will be provided by existing public health nurses who will assist the primary and secondary RDHs with application of the sealant. The total cost of this project is $31,619, of which $20,029 will be funded by the state Medicaid program. The remaining $11,590 will require a county match of $7,090 and the remainder funded by the state grant. County matching funds are budgeted for 2013 in Org 8501, accounts 64072, professional services, and 60001, salaries. I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Cruz, seconded by Supervisor Richmond. Discussion on this item. Supervisor Schrader.
It says that the funds are to be used to purchase supplies and dental hygienists to deliver the sealant services to 295 children in La Crosse County. How are they selected?
These are...
I didn't know if you wanted Mr. Mormon to be heard.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And where are they?
The students are students in La Crosse School District. They're and other schools in the county. They're in second grade. This program is a continuation of a program that's been offered in the past by the Dental Hygiene Association on a voluntary basis. The Hygiene Association wasn't able to continue it, and so we're moving forward to pick it up. So when the screening occurs in the schools, the kids that need the sealants are the children that receive them. So it's based on the assessment. Did I answer the question?
I believe so.
Good. Thanks.
Any other discussion? Supervisor Holtz.
Quick question. The Excelsior is in the 2013 budget. Is there money in the 12 budget too? That's other funds that's already been approved or something?
Yes. The funds that the county needs to match are funds that are already in the 2012 budget. There's no additional funds that need to be allocated, but we're reassigning some existing public health nursing staff to do that support work. So the answer is yes. There is sufficient funds in the 2012 budget, and because this contract will carry into the next fiscal year, we're planning for that also.
So we're basically committing towards our budget that's coming up next.
Yes, that's correct.
And other discussion? We'll vote on the computer. Just make sure we have the votes. On resolution 8-20. That resolution is approved on a 27-0 vote. Anything else for you, Supervisor Cruz? Thank you. I should note that is a sufficient 2/3 vote. Not surprising. Suggestions for future agenda items. Mr. O'Malley.
Just to keep everyone in the loop, obviously the Lakeview resolution, we will be coming back in September with information for you. So both at the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee and Executive Committee, we'll be actually more firm than just an estimate. We're going through an RFP process, so we'll be able to bring you up to date on that. Depending upon the success of the RFP, we may ask for a special meeting of the Exec and Aging and Long-Term Care Committee. So I'll be back in touch with the members of those committees. Our hope is to bring you a solid recommendation in the September cycle on conducting those studies. So be aware of that. I just want to give that heads up to both members. I will work with both chairs to see if it should be a combined committee meeting or one committee. We'll have to talk more about that. But we're in the process of refining an RFP so that we can get a more specific estimate on both of those independent analysis.
Supervisor Doyle.
As we're moving further along in budget season, Mr. O'Malley, can you just kind of give us an overview of what steps we're going to be expecting? In other words, planning and regular county board and so forth, what we're seeing for the next couple months or so?
Certainly. Generally, what we do is in the September planning cycle and September committees, even before we issue the entire budget, we highlight the major issues by committee and broad area. September 20th is when we distribute the actual county administrator's budget document, where I give you a little bit more information. And then the October cycle is where we get into the depth of debate and policy choices. By committee and then the full board, et cetera. I'm sorry.
Suggested future agenda items. Supervisor Gamroth.
I just wanted to thank the board. I noticed in my mailbox today that our Bangor post office will be opening, and our constituents are so happy. So thank you for the help and the support with the resolution. It'll be opening on the 25th of this month. So we're very excited.
Great.
Thank you.
Supervisor Geary.
At some future, when maybe we can get that La Crosse Community Housing Development Organization in here, I want to get a little better understanding of you know, like they're paying the tax on the land. Where do they get the money from? Other taxpayers?
So that's part of Cooley Cap, which, we can have them come back.
At minimum, I'll get a follow-up written report on this specific item. I apologize, we didn't have that information here.
Any other future agenda items? If not, a reminder that we're gathering for a picnic tomorrow afternoon. Look forward to seeing everyone. Supervisor Brockmiller.
I move to adjourn.
Supervisor Brockmiller moves to adjourn, seconded by Supervisor Holtz. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, no. We are adjourned with the thanks of the chair.